Today on Straight Talk Africa, there's a new president in Zimbabwe and a new administration in Washington. Could this be a window of an opportunity for improved U.S.-Zimbabwean relations? What should we expect? If true, that's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
Hello, Shaka, and hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ian Bior, your social media reporter.
Given the leadership changes in both Washington and Harare, could this be a window of an opportunity for improved U.S.-Zimbabwe relations?
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments, and we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
And joining us here in the VOA studio are two distinguished guests, Harry K. Thomas, Jr., the U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, and Dr. Frank Guni, ZANU-PF ruling party representative in Washington, D.C. Well, gentlemen, I have to say, frankly, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Well, we're happy to be here.
Happy to be here, too. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Later in the program, we'll give you, our audience, a chance to call in with your question or comment. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Ambassador Thomas Jr., since you are on a tight schedule and we only have a limited amount of time, I'll begin with you, if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Well, first of all, to be honest with you, it's a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Well, Shaka, it's a pleasure to be here, and Merry Christmas to you, your family, and all of your visitors.
Merry Christmas to you, of course. And let me ask you a question. Do you sometimes watch Straight Talk Africa out of Harare?
Of course.
Really?
We do. Well, you know, first of all, I have been, for my entire career, a big supporter of Voice of America. And Voice of America has done well every place I have served. So I and particularly in countries where freedom of speech have been challenged. So, yes.
Profoundly honored, of course, for your support and
Thank
compliments.
You.
Now, let me ask you a question immediately, really.
Yes.
When President Mugabe voluntarily stepped down, you were in Harare.
Yes.
What was your immediate reaction?
I was in a meeting and we got a text, got in my car and drove home. And I said to myself, well, Zimbabweans aren't so excited. But when I got out of my car, I realized it's soundproof as well as bulletproof. And it was the loudest noise I've ever heard in Harare. I went in to tell my wife, who gave me a hug, ran into the kitchen to tell our staff, and they went crazy. And we were having a dinner party that night. Everybody was so happy.
You know, a lot of people have said, look, this was a coup. And others say, no, it was not a coup. What was it in your view?
It was a Zimbabwean-style change of government. Because only in Zimbabwe would President Mugabe have been allowed to go to Africa Open University, Zimbabwe Open University, and cap its graduates, give a speech on television, which we still do not know what his intent was. But the most important thing is going forward. And we want to see this new Zimbabwe thrive. We want to be partners in the new Zimbabwe, and we hope that the new government will help its people, and we'll try to help the new government as well as the people if it adheres to the Constitution.
What does Washington expect from Harare?
Sir, right now, we want to hold President Mnangagwa at his word. He has told the Zimbabwean people, most of all, as well as the American people, he's going to hold free and fair elections. They're going to be violence-free. We would like to see international election observers led by Africans, but we'd like to be part of it. We'd like to see the biometric voter registration period extended. We think that's going to happen, and we hope that he funds that. On the second part, we'd like to see President Mnangagwa implement the budget speech that Finance Minister Chinamasa gave last week in terms of Zimbabwe's open for business.
Let's talk about the elections. Mm-hmm. Is it possible, frankly, for the Mnangagwa administration to conduct a credible election without reforms?
We will find out. We will find out. They say they're going to. Now look, we have to say over a million people have registered in the last couple of months to bring it up to 4.6 million. Mm-hmm. That tells us people want to vote, as they have in 2013, 2008. What troubles us is when Paramount Chiefs said that the Chiefs are going to support the government. That smacks of really interference. We'd like not to see that. We're very concerned. What role is the military going to play? We'd like to see that explained to us, but more importantly, the Zimbabwean people. We want to salute Zimbabwe on hosting free and fair elections.
You've been in Zimbabwe for slightly over 2 years now.
Yes.
What kind of place is it?
No, this is my second time. So I've spent 5 years of my life in Zimbabwe.
Really?
I'll tell you this. My wife loves Zimbabwe and Zimbabwean.
Do you speak some Shona or Ndebele or something?
Very few words. Very few words. My wife actually has given speeches in Shona and Ndebele.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
much more than me. But when I think of Zimbabwe, I think of people who always have a plan, always have a backup plan, who never stop getting degrees. who are yes. very religious, very conservative, but also interested in having businesses. We love the music of Zimbabwe. My wife is always following Tuku, but I love Ja Praise's music. Mm-hmm. And we hope that the great Thomas Mfumo comes home and performs. We'd love to see that. That would really signal a change.
Very interesting. I gather that you recently heard or at least you paid a courteous call on the new Zimbabwean foreign minister.
Yes.
That is Lieutenant General Moyo, mm-hmm. retired but certainly not tired. What was it like?
After we took photos, people said, you two look alike. And I was like, no, I look better. Let's be clear. The foreign minister was engaging. He told us that his government's going to reach out to capitals, to former friends, new friends, erstwhile friends, governments that have sanctions against them. We take him at his word. He said that the elections will be free and fair. He said that he's going to, that he corrected me, mm-hmm. that he's not only foreign minister, that he's foreign and international trade minister. So he will have a huge responsibility in bringing American investors. And I told him that despite sanctions, Pepsi Cola opened in Zimbabwe this year, that Pizza Hut's going to open after Christmas. These are American businesses who are already coming. More will come if the right policies happen.
What did he say that Harare expects from Washington, at least, in the shortest possible time?
Well, clearly, let's be frank, they would like to see sanctions removed. Then they would like to see us encourage American investors. We pointed out we are already encouraging American investors. It's their decision whether they come or not. And we hope that President Mnangagwa will meet many American investors when he goes to the World Economic Forum in Davos. And that was the heart of our exchange. But he's very friendly, very, very open. But he's a general, and I work for a general in Colin Powell. And generals are generals, they're very firm.
They are officers, it's like an officer and a gentleman.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Very interesting, and of course, in addition to that, he happens to have an earned PhD mm-hmm. in international mm-hmm. affairs. Very interesting. What about President Emmerson Mnangagwa? Have you met him?
I only had the privilege of meeting him once, when I first got to Zimbabwe, when he was Vice President and Minister of Justice. I have not had the pleasure of meeting him since, and that's almost 2 years. I hope to have the opportunity to meet him when I return.
From the little that you know about him, is he the sort of person that you look forward to doing business with?
Yes, well, even before he became president, a huge swath of the business community was hoping that he would become president because they viewed him as pragmatic. His friends that I have met tells me that he doesn't talk much, that he listens, and he thinks before he responds. I think that'll be wonderful.
If he was watching this program, what would you say to him if you looked in the camera that he needed to do immediately so that, for example, you could in fact remove the sanctions?
Well, we would say to President Mnangagwa, congratulations on being president, that our message is just two things. Do what you have said you have done, will do, and your promises to the Zimbabwean people. And that is hold free and fair elections and open the economy.
You know, there were some people who said that when it comes to the U.S. dealing with Zimbabwe, in their words, not mine, that it seems to apply some kind of double standard, really, talking about selective justice, because Zimbabwe happens not to be the only country in Africa that, according to the U.S., is undemocratic. You deal with a lot of undemocratic countries. In fact, one time I remember The Economist, which I'm sure you know is one of the most influential news magazines out of London, once compared democracy, well, at least the democratic space in Zimbabwe, with that of the Republic of Rwanda, and they found that Harare was much better than Rwanda, and yet you engage Kigali.
Well, I think what we want to do is we look at every country individually. We have bilateral relations with every country. And what is important is where do we go from here? We will leave it to the historians to judge our relationship with Zimbabwe in the past. What I'm excited about is helping Zimbabwe go forward, continuing to provide scholarships. You know, we provide many scholarships for graduate school and fellowships. We have over 1,500 Zimbabweans studying in America, including at UCLA.
And very good.
We also try to help Zimbabwe through our trade policy. Zimbabwe has a trade surplus with the United States. We like to have a trade surplus for Zimbabwe, but we want that trade to increase. And this is what we're going to focus on. Let's go forward. Let's try to find a way to partnership. Let's help Zimbabwe provide jobs for its people.
Talk to us about the fellowship that you sort of mentioned to me, and you know, which of course is with the State University of New York Buffalo campus.
That is something that's done by Zimbabweans. So it's not just American government giving scholarships, but there's a Zimbabwean American professor at SUNY Buffalo. He's a scientist. He really believes in STEM. He approached the former minister of higher education, and they funded 10 Zimbabweans, which they chose on merit, to study at SUNY Buffalo along with UZ, hoping to produce 10 PhDs in 10 years. It's an ambitious effort. SUNY, you know, my home is New York City.
Yes, of course.
Many of my friends went to Buffalo and
Albany.
You grew
up in Harlem?
I was born in Harlem. We moved to Queens. I went to high school in Brooklyn, so I'm all parts.
Yes.
I still have relatives in Harlem.
Very interesting.
Which I dearly love Harlem. But this is not just, these programs are not just government. It is individual Zimbabwean Americans, such as this person, doing this.
Final question, Mr. Ambassador. What would you say is the single most important decision that you have made since your assignment in Harare? And what about the single most regrettable decision?
Well, the single most important decision we made was what we term the military intervention. Not calling and using the C word was the international community's gift to the new government. And we hope they remember that. Regrettable decisions? I have many throughout my
just
career.
Just one, no catalog, Mr. Ambassador.
I'm trying to think. It's hard if you have a big ego. What did you make as a mistake in Zimbabwe? That's really hard for me to think because I haven't been given much of a chance to engage the government. I think their mistake was not engaging us fully, and we hope we can go forward, but nobody is perfect. The biggest challenge I've had was that when people send remittances and they're captured by Treasury or banks. Mm-hmm. Getting those remittances, which are not part of sanctions, to the individual. And when we can't or it takes a long time, we deeply regret that. And that is something that we continue to meet with our government to try to change.
Unfortunately, time happens not to be our best ally. Mm-hmm. And on that note, Mr. Ambassador, it was a pleasure to host you on Straight Talk Africa.
Doctor,
for the first
pleasure
time.
To meet you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
Thank you.
Before we pause for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA US Zimbabwe, and we will air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111, U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question, keep your comment brief, and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
With new leadership in both Harare and Washington, critics say there is a possibility that U.S.-Zimbabwe relations may improve. My colleague, Paul Sisco, has more.
Diplomatically, the United States has consistently and unequivocally stood with and by the people of Zimbabwe, the United States recognizing the Republic since its independence from Britain, April 18, 1980. The U.S. was the first nation to open an embassy there, pledging assistance towards its future democratic and economic development. America's commitment to work with the nation, promoting democracy, equitable economic growth, public health, and food security is steadfast. Between 2000 and 2008, the U.S. led international condemnation of the Mugabe government's assault on human rights and the rule of law. U.S. restrictions followed by financial sanctions against specific individuals and entities and a suspension of non-humanitarian government-to-government assistance began in 2001. Despite continued interference from the Mugabe administration, America remains Zimbabwe's largest provider of development and humanitarian assistance. And despite years of harsh condemnation from Mugabe, the U.S. government continues to promote exchanges like the Young African Leaders Initiative and joint business ventures aimed at Zimbabwe's economic recovery following years of its decline. U.S. development assistance programs in health, agriculture, and food security continue. The U.S. State Department's Stephanie Sullivan says the U.S. is not shifting its policies following the removal of Mugabe from power.
There is no plan to change anything related to the sanctions regime. There are some very specific things that we would like to see happen before we even consider revisiting that.
The international community is anxiously waiting to see if Zimbabwe can hold free, fair, and transparent elections, slated for August 2018. The July 13 election, returning Robert Mugabe to office, a large victory for his ZANU-PF party, were universally condemned as not representing the will of the Zimbabwean people. ZANU-PF activist Frank Guni dismissed election concerns, saying reforms are ongoing under the government of new President Emmerson Mnangagwa.
Already reforms are undergoing. The electoral law is being reformed and is being realigned with the Constitution of Zimbabwe. As we speak, it was introduced in Parliament last Thursday. That's the critical element in terms of making sure that our next elections are going to be conducted and confirmed with the Constitution and the laws of Zimbabwe.
U.S. Senator Jeff Flake expressed serious concerns shared by many in the U.S. Congress.
Those of us who watch Zimbabwe closely are also hopeful that this marks a turning point for the country that has suffered complete economic devastation under a dictator who stifled dissent and trampled basic human rights. Zimbabwe has a new president, but the critical questions of whether the new government reflects material change from Mugabe's decades of rule and what path Zimbabwe is likely to take under President Mnangagwa, these are things still left unsettled.
Successive U.S. administrations have made it clear the easing of its targeted sanctions will take place only after credible, transparent, and lasting democratic reforms are put in place. In addition to the United States, Britain and the European Union say Zimbabwe's future will ultimately depend on the execution of a free, fair, and credible general election in 2018, and the extent to which the country implements far-reaching economic and political reforms while upholding constitutionalism. Can the new government in Zimbabwe rise to the challenge? Paul Sisko, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. Meanwhile, for the latest developments from the Zimbabwean capital of Harare, I am joined by VOA's Zimbabwe service reporter, Blessing Zulu. Good evening, Mr. Zulu.
Good evening, Shaka. How are you doing?
I am hugely terrific, except that for me, of course, it just happens to be afternoon.
This evening here.
How are you? How are you?
8:52 p.m.
How are you? Can you talk to us about the highlights during the president's State of the Nation address earlier today?
The President Mnangagwa did talk about the need to revive the economy, which has not responded very well to his leadership. Prices have been going up, and he has been begging the business community to make sure that they do not continue to hike the prices. But unfortunately, the prices have been going up, and he also talked about corruption, and he vowed that he was going to deal with corruption. And we understand this evening that a former mines minister, Walter Chidagwa, was just arrested by the police. Is also suspected to be to having been a member of the other ZANU-PF faction that is now on the run, the so-called G40 faction. I don't know, maybe that is what he was referring to, that he was not going to leave any stone unturned in his fight against corruption. And, of course, he also thanked the military for ousting President Robert Mugabe. I think those are some of the major highlights. And, of course, he also talked about trying to re-engage the West.
Now, talking about re-engaging the West, what specifically does he expect from the West?
I think looking at Washington, he wants Washington to lift the targeted sanctions that ZANU-PF for years has been claiming to be behind the economic crisis that the country is facing at the moment. And he's saying that, of course, Mr. Mugabe, the former president, is gone, and there's a new sheriff in town. There's need to start on a new slate, and there's need for Washington to give him a chance to prove himself. And he's even promising free and fair and credible elections next year. This is one of the things that Washington has been saying for years must be addressed, because Zimbabwe has always been holding elections that are disputed.
Now, when you talk about, he talked about lifting targeted sanctions. Are you aware, for example, that he happens, and I'm talking about President Mnangagwa, happens to be, in fact, one of those key people who are affected?
Indeed, I think that is why he also wants those sanctions to go. You know, previously the country has been following the so-called East policy, relying heavily on China. But it appears that the deals with China have not been yielding much. This is why they have to look east and west, and perhaps up to God as well. The country needs divine intervention.
You know, Blessings, I know that you are the sort of guy who interacts effortlessly. And I'm sure you've talked with a lot of Zimbabweans on the ground. What was their immediate reaction to the president's statement?
You know, it received mixed signals, if you may put it that way, from Zimbabwe. And some were saying that he is saying the right things. For example, bringing back Zimbabwe to constitutionalism, respecting human rights, fighting corruption. This is what the people have always been clamoring for. And also, you know, the need to re-engage the West. But others, like the opposition, they are saying that they want to see action. You know, cheap is talking is very easy, but they are saying that ZANU-PF for years is known for that, you know, just talking and not implementing anything. So they are saying that they will adopt a wait-and-see attitude. But largely, many people received this speech very well. He was not, like, openly attacking the opposition, as we have come to know from former President Robert Mugabe. It's actually a departure from that rhetoric of President Robert Mugabe attacking the West and, you know, attacking the opposition. His approach was more to do with building unity.
Now, Blessing's final question. I know that you had been to Zimbabwe some time back, and you are now back, obviously, in what appears to be a new era. What is the mood like, really, especially on a personal note from you?
For me, it has been a bit nostalgic. You know, probably this will be my first Christmas in Zimbabwe since I left the country in 2003. So I'm meeting old friends. So personally, it has been you know, a bit on the emotional side. Happy to meet old faces. Of course, some have departed, sadly. But for ordinary Zimbabweans, I think some might be losing patience with Mr. Mnangagwa, because I think people want a quick turnaround. They thought that after 37 years of President Robert, former President Mugabe's rule, if a new leader comes in, things will change quickly. But it's not happening quick enough for the majority of Zimbabweans. So I can sense that they are a bit subdued.
Well, on that note, Blessing, thank you so much for your insight. And I hope you have a hugely terrific Christmas and New Year.
Thank you so much, Aga.
You're most welcome, sir. Well, let me come to you, Dr. Guni. Do you feel like a bit envious that you're not celebrating this Christmas in Harare, just like Blessing?
Well, obviously, I wish I would have been home with my immediate family, but circumstances are such that I'm here, and I'm happy to be of service here in the United States and to my country as well.
I see. Well, I gather that we have to go for a break. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiu, your word. And of course, welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Well, thank you, Shaka. We received excellent social media feedback this week. New Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa was sworn in a few weeks ago in the wake of a military coup that ended Robert Mugabe's 37-year rule. With our special guest, Harry K. Thomas Jr., the U.S. ambassador to Zimbabwe, on earlier to discuss U.S.-Zimbabwe relations, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, in what areas can the United States help Zimbabwe and Africa the most in 2018? Well, let's start the conversation with a tweet from OK Martin, who tweets, they can actually help by staying away from Zimbabwe and Africa so that Africa will aid themselves and not rely on the Western world. Well, now let's go to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Lamech Fear in Lusaka, Zambia, who writes, it's high time that Africa stand on its own feet and stop depending on other countries for help. Zimbabwe and other African countries are capable of accomplishing anything if they would only take matters of development seriously by having real leaders who have a love for the people. Well, let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Asaba Allen, who writes, remove sanctions and deny aid to governments with no term limits. Countries with dictators who hide under the guise of democracy should not be helped, because the aid is misused through bribery and corruption. Only tribesmen and family members of the dictators are the beneficiaries of aid. Well, our last Facebook comment comes from Galyaki Cyrus, who writes, the right question should be, what should the U.S. not do? Which, in my view, may include not to interfere with the politics and trade, not to appear good, because past experience has taught African countries that America has lied, that its helping has only resulted into dire situations. The whole world is tired of the USA talk. Well, a harsh take, but an interesting question posed there. What should the U.S. not do? Shaka, it'll be interesting to see what you and the guests have to say about that, as well as the other comments. And a reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. If you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. To comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. To join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA's Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website. To watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next, Straight Talk Africa, an exclusive interview with Zambia's founding father, Kenneth Kaunda. The longtime president talks about how some of the key leaders of his generation looked at Africa through a lens that had neither borders nor boundaries. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guests have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Well, Ayen, thank you so much for sharing some social media reaction with us. And today's topic, of course, is given the leadership changes in both Washington and Harare, could this be a window of an opportunity for improved relations between the U.S. and Zimbabwe? And our guest is Frank Guni, the ZANU-PF ruling party representative in Washington, D.C. Well, the doctor, of course, with a clinic. They call me a doctor, but of course, I can't claim to have anything like a clinic like yours. So I have to say frankly that once again, I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
My pleasure to be here, Jack.
You're most welcome. You heard some of the social media that Ayen shared with us. Your reaction?
Well, I think some of the media comments are quite informative, and some of them are quite warranted. Let me take one peek there, the one that says, what is it that the United States should not do in Zimbabwe? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the fundamental things that from the ruling party side, and generally as a Zimbabwean, we wish for is for the United States or any other foreign nation not to do is to interfere in the internal affairs of Zimbabwe. For instance, taking partisan sides. Mm-hmm. I think that's unhealthy for our democracy. Mm-hmm. If we have foreign nations taking partisan sides, be it the ruling party or any opposition party, I think Zimbabwean affairs should be addressed by Zimbabweans.
But what about the aid, for example, that the U.S. gives in order for the government of Zimbabwe to help, you know, help deal with things to do with service delivery, for example? Wouldn't one call that a sort of interference, but perhaps a positive interference?
Well, I wouldn't classify that as interference. I think genuine aid that goes to address the basic needs of Zimbabweans is welcome, but it also has to come through the appropriate channels. What I mean is, when I say the U.S. or any other foreign nation should not take partisan sides, is when they blatantly take positions that support one political divide, for instance. Mm. I think that's unhealthy for our democracy. As Zimbabweans, we are mature enough to look at our democratic dispensation mm-hmm. and talk about it as Zimbabweans.
But what about, for example, if they talk about the fundamental need for conducting an election that is seen to be credible, transparent, and verifiable? Would that be a problem?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, President Mnangagwa, from the day he took the oath of office, he has been very consistent on saying he intends to deliver free, fair, credible, and democratic elections next year. He repeated the same statement today in his State of the Nation address to the people of Zimbabwe and the world. Mm. And like Ambassador Thomas said, let's give him a chance and let's hold him to his word. And I believe that he truly means what he says and intends to deliver on his promises.
In fact, talking about Ambassador Thomas Jr., what is your reaction to some of the things that, in fact, he actually said?
I think a lot of this, things that he shared with us here on this stage are quite amenable. We appreciate the toned-down approach from the previous situation where it was like a tit-for-tat, mm-hmm. where he had our former President Mugabe shouting at the West and the West returning the favor.
Can you give us some examples?
Well, a good example, we had our former president telling the United States president to go and hang and telling the West to keep their countries so that he could keep his Zimbabwe. But Zimbabwe is not an island. Zimbabwe, like any other nation, needs to interact, need to trade, need to have sound relations with every country around it and around the world.
But, Frank, there are people, frankly, who say that after 37 years of Robert Gabriel Mugabe at the political helm of Zimbabwe, mm-hmm. that what the country really needs is what they call trajectory change. And that this doesn't, frankly, look like trajectory change, but rather it looks like, yes, there is change in terms of leadership at the top, but the rest pretty much remains the same, really. How do you react to that?
Well, I think people are missing the bigger picture here. Fundamentally, at the forefront, we have a transitional government, no matter how you look at it. The new government that was installed, the new cabinet that was sworn in by President Mnangagwa, is only good for about 6 months. So it is really a transitional process into a democratic election that will then dispense a new government.
But what about some people who say, wait a minute, we expected to have a government, or at least a cabinet, frankly,
yes,
that looked like Zimbabwe, that reflected the various political tendencies of Zimbabwe?
Well, that's a very valid point, but let me start by saying, again, one of the major tenets that President Mnangagwa has emphasized and ZANU-PF has emphasized is going back to constitutionalism. The law of the land requires that the president appoints his cabinet from parliament. He is only allowed to appoint a maximum of 5 people outside of parliament. So he was limited in terms of the pool from which he could pick his cabinet. Mm-hmm. That's number one. The second issue is whether people want to accept it or not. The new president extended a hand to the opposition. There were some members of the opposition who had accepted to participate in this new government, but there were some obstacles on their part, and it didn't materialize. But the ruling party had extended a hand. And I can assure you that I have it on good record that once we go past the elections next year, the president will look at merit and capability, not political patronage, in terms of his government going forward.
Let's talk about what some call the elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. Does it remain the land issue, or is it about social economic justice for all Zimbabweans now?
I think it's both ways. The land question is obviously fundamental, but we have already seen changes happening. For instance, the new government has extended its hand to its former commercial white farmers, for instance, mm-hmm. and they have been told that they can come back to Zimbabwe if they so wish to participate in Zimbabwe's agricultural process, but they will be allocated land like any other Zimbabwean. On the other hand, the new government has already started conducting an audit to ensure that the proper government policies followed. The proper government policies: one man, one farm, no multiple farms. No one should own more than one farm.
No farms which are fallow.
Yes, no land should lie derelict when Zimbabweans could utilize it for the benefit of Zimbabwe.
What about the policy regarding what is called the Command Agriculture Program, mm-hmm. which is backed by apparently the African Development Bank? Its goal, frankly, is to invest in the communities to make them more agriculturally self-sufficient.
That's one approach, and so far it has worked. For the first time in 15 years, Zimbabwe is not importing maize from its neighbors mm-hmm. because of Command Agriculture. So it has been a success so far, and the government is proposing to continue with that program. However, we need to look beyond that agricultural approach and look at other sectors too. We cannot rely on one aspect of the economy if we are to regrow our economy.
Now, there are people who have some problems with the new president, the crocodile. They say that he's pretty much really someone that regarded the former president as a mentor. Is that correct?
That's true. He looks at President Mugabe as a mentor because these guys have been together for over 40 years, but he is very pragmatic. He is fundamentally different in terms of approach and strategic thinking. Mm-hmm. He has a business approach. He is a successful businessman in his own right. He is much more of a listener than a talker. He is much more of a practical person. He does like to show that this is what his government intends to do through demonstrable evidence, not just talking. So there is a large departure from what we are used to from President Mugabe. There is a diametrical difference in terms of approach and execution.
Now, given the strategic role, the key role that he apparently played back in 1983, we're talking about the alleged massacres in Matabele land. Do you see President Mnangagwa, for example, coming up, frankly, strongly with the establishment of what some say should be established, a sort of truth, reconciliation, and the justice commission for the people of Zimbabwe?
I have no doubt that President Mnangagwa and ZANU-PF, for that matter, intends to address this issue once and for all. Sure enough, he was part of the cabinet from 1980 And when we had those Matabeleland...
Minister of State Security.
Yes.
Which oversaw, of course, the Central Intelligence Organization.
That's very true. Notwithstanding the fact that the actual execution of the Gukurawundi process was done by the Minister of Defense.
Minister of Defense?
Yes.
And the man who happened to be, in fact, in charge of that, a Commander Fili or somebody, is now the Minister for Lands and Resettlement, correct?
Correct.
Very interesting.
Yes. If I may add one more thing, I'm certain that President Mnangagwa intends to do quite urgently certain basic things that should have been done in 1987. These are reburial, affording decent reburial of victims of the Gukurawundi era. A government formal apology to the victims of the Gukurawundi era. That's coming. A national approach to looking at how best we could address the Gukurawundi issue in its totality, looking at all factors, answering three basic questions. What happened? Who was responsible? And how can we move on together as a nation? Those are fundamental issues that President Mnangagwa and ZANU-PF intends to address as we move beyond the elections in 2018.
Do you sincerely think and believe that they will be in a position to appoint an independent commission to look into that?
I have no doubt that if that's what the people of Zimbabwe want, President Mnangagwa will certainly listen to that. We have already seen him making changes when people cried foul. A good example, when he first proposed his first cabinet proposal, a lot of people had a lot of reservations with the number of ministers, and they were dropped because people were complaining. Recently, people were saying, well, the military helped us, but we don't want the military in the streets. They are off the streets. He listens to the people.
Correct. Now, what about someone who said that why does Mnangagwa command a strong image in Zimbabwe as a cultivator of stability and the support from SADC, the Southern African Development Community? Why?
I think fundamentally because everybody wants peace for Zimbabwe. Comrade Mnangagwa, as president and a member of ZANU-PF, comes from the liberation struggle. The principles for which the war of liberation was fought have not gone away. And Mnangagwa is an embodiment of those principles from those who went, from the perspective of those who went to war. That's number one. People know that, again, like I've already alluded to, he is a business mind. He is amenable to extending his hand to the West, for instance, re-establishing relations with the international community, including financial institutions. Mm-hmm. So he is more like a reform a focused leader for Zimbabwe. He is the natural leader that Zimbabwe would have wanted. You heard Ambassador Harry Thomas Jr. alluding that the business community in Zimbabwe really wanted him to be president, and I'm sure they are happy that he is leading the process now of Zimbabwe's future.
You know, it is very interesting because he obviously happens to be one of the richest individuals in your country.
Well, I wouldn't know about that for certain, and I wouldn't...
But you know that he's a very, very successful businessman.
True. He is a successful businessman. He's a successful farmer. He's a successful politician. He's a successful Zimbabwean like many other Zimbabweans, but I wouldn't want to speculate whether or not he is among the richest. Probably he is, probably he isn't. I just don't know if I could... authoritatively comment to that aspect.
He's a very, very loyal man because he's actually known former President Robert Gabriel Mugabe for 52 years.
Yes.
Which is the same age of Dr. Grace Mugabe. Very interesting. What about his experience in the military? We know, for example, that he trained in Tanzania.
Yes.
He trained in Egypt.
Yes.
And he trained in China.
Correct.
Does he actually have a rank?
Well, his military rank was a commander during the Liberation War.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, he commanded the first group called the Group of Seven.
Correct. What that, was the Group of Seven?
Well, these were the first ZANU forces that went into Zimbabwe from the eastern side. And he's the only survivor. That's actually where the name, the crocodile comes from. Yes, that's where his name derives from that group of seven. So he commanded that group with other cadres. But beyond the liberation, beyond 1980, he doesn't have any military rank. And I don't think he really cares about having a military rank, because his military record and his service to the nation speaks for itself.
And guess what? Of course, as we talk, he's now the commander-in-chief of the Zimbabwean Armed Forces.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you this question. You know as well as I do that Zimbabwe does not have a currency.
Correct.
Why? And how important, frankly, is not having a national currency? How has this affected the country?
I think it cannot be overstated, the fact that having a country without its own currency is devastating for any economy. We know what happened leading up to 2008, when the economy literally crashed, mm-hmm. and our Zimbabwean dollar had nothing to be backed with. So it literally became useless, hence the adoption of multi-currency system. And I believe as we move forward, the new government is starting to rebuild its gold reserves and other resources to back its currency in the future, if and when we revert back to our own currency. One other option is to start the process of joining the SACU, the Southern African Current Unit, which is pegged by the South African rand.
Right.
It's a long process. Most people think that it's something that you can just do overnight. It actually takes a minimum of 4 years to be integrated into the rand monetary union. That's one option we can follow while we build our reserves in order to have our own currency. We do not have any leeway of leveraging the US dollar. In other words, that's the main operating currency in our country, and that's not good for our economy, because we have no influence on how the US dollar behaves either on our economy or anywhere else in the world. It's a precarious position that we find Zimbabwe in.
In fact, I'm told that despite the fact that you actually use the US dollar as the basic currency, your central bank does not have or enjoy any relationship with the U.S. Federal Reserve Bank.
That's true.
Very interesting.
That's an aspect of the economic sanctions that have been imposed on Zimbabwe. And if I may say that from a ZANU-PF perspective and from the government perspective, we are moving very fast to address the fundamental issues mm-hmm. that were raised by the United States and other parties, which caused the imposition of sanctions. If you look at the Zimbabwe, the ZUDERA sanctions bill or act of the United States, it has very specific things that Zimbabwe must address in order for those sanctions to be removed. All of those issues, President Mnangagwa picked them one by one today in his State of the Nation address. And we are sure that by the time we go to elections next year, majority of the concerns that necessitated ZUDERA or the Sanctions Act of the United States mm-hmm. will have been addressed, and we look forward and hope that the United States will reciprocally remove the sanctions so that Zimbabwe can begin to start afresh and redevelop its economy and enhance its relationships with all nations around the globe.
I know that, of course, you use the U.S. dollar and you also use the South African rand. Is there any other currency that is also used in Zimbabwe?
Yes, we do use the Chinese yuan, mm-hmm. and the Botswana pula is also accepted legal tender in Zimbabwe. There are about six currencies that are accepted in Zimbabwe, but of course, the U.S. dollar being the fundamental global currency, everybody prefers the U.S. dollar as opposed to the other currencies. That's why the system in Zimbabwe is actually called a multi-currency system. It's not just the U.S. dollar. But again,
so it's a bouquet?
Yes, it's a basket. You can pick and choose whichever currency you want to use.
Very interesting. Well, the government says, of course, that Zimbabwe's primary interest at the moment is economic development and emancipation of the people. What exactly does this mean?
Well, that means addressing fundamentals of the economy. One thing that we need to address for sure, and it has already begun, is corruption. Government corruption or government officials' corruption. President Mnangagwa, in his address today, mm-hmm. addressing the nation, did say that Corruption is a serious crisis for Zimbabwe. It has to be addressed. Every case of corruption will be investigated and the law will take its course. There will be no sacred cows in Zimbabwe. Every politician or anybody who engages in corruption will be prosecuted in accordance with the laws of the land. I think that's a fundamental issue. The other thing is we need to change our investment laws. Already, we have already seen a change in the Indigenization Act. It was a great impediment for foreign direct investment. And since President Mnangagwa came into office and we saw the new budget presentation by the Minister of Finance, majority of what was contained in the Indigenous Act, which required foreign investors to simply cede their shares to Zimbabweans, that has already been removed. So we are looking at creating an investor-friendly Zimbabwe, improving the ease of doing business in Zimbabwe, re-establishing Zimbabwe as a preferable economic destination for any investor out there.
The ambassador, of course, earlier talked about how very highly educated Zimbabweans actually can be. And in fact, I happen to know that besides you, there are a lot of other highly educated Zimbabweans in the diaspora. Are there some specific plans or strategy for Harare to jumpstart the economy by collaborating with the Zimbabwean diaspora and friends of Zimbabwe?
Absolutely. Let me cite good examples. Tomorrow, the President of the Republic, His Excellency President Mnangagwa, will be in South Africa addressing Zimbabweans in the diaspora and the business community in South Africa to ensure that they see the business opportunities in Zimbabwe so that they can come and invest in Zimbabwe. The government is putting together a package to ensure that there is also a business delegation coming here to Washington, D.C. Our intent is to make sure that we have a delegation that comes to Washington, D.C., to Atlanta, to New York, to California and European capitals to ensure that we draw on the Zimbabwean expertise that's already in the diaspora as well as our international partners who are willing to do business in Zimbabwe. I think one of the setbacks that we have had in the past as Zimbabwe is that we have not been able to communicate our policies effectively and assuring our business and investment partners how conducive Zimbabwe will be. And I think you will see a big shift towards ensuring that people who intend to invest in Zimbabwe are assured that their investments will be protected, their property rights will be protected, and Zimbabwe is a free economy where anybody can come and do business with ease.
It's very interesting that you happen to have the potential of having one of the richest South Africans as president of the Republic of South Africa, Cyril Ramaphosa,
yes,
south of your border. And you have, of course, Emmerson Mnangagwa. To what extent do you know that these two are friends?
I know that the now president of ANC and deputy president of the Republic of South Africa is good friends with President Mnangagwa. So it's a good thing for our country. Again, we are seeing a departure. We saw what happened in Zimbabwe when the former first lady tried to take over the reins of power.
Right.
We saw a similar situation in South Africa.
Pretty much.
And that has been quashed. So it's a good thing for both our sister countries. And we believe that majority of Zimbabweans that are in South Africa, frankly, a lot of businesses in South Africa are being run by Zimbabweans.
Well, I hate to say it, but time is not the best, you know, is not our best ally. And on that note, thanks to Dr. Frank Guni, the U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Harry K. Thomas, who joined us earlier. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, for many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Zimbabwe. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.